Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Clap your hands for Angela.
Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's guest is Sarah Jakes. She is the daughter of Pastor T.D. Jakes. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
You're more than welcome. We had a little problem there getting together.
In the evening. I'm glad we finally got to catch you.
Yeah, okay. All right. So you're the daughter of a famous pastor. What is it like? Well, first of all, what is the name of your book?
My book is a memoir entitled Lost and Found.
Lost and Found. Why did you pick that title?
Because I was overlooking, just in my short span of life, some of the detours that I made and recognized that maybe life is a constant journal of being lost and found over and over again.
Okay. So I'd like to say hello and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler, if I haven't already said that. So your book, it's basically about you. It's an autobiography.
It's a memoir.
Memoir, okay. Thank you. What is it like being the daughter of the very famous Bishop T.D. Jakes?
Well, day to day in our homes, it was relatively normal, with him traveling or working and then coming home in the evenings and maybe sometimes reviewing homework or, you know, asking how our days were. But then, of course, there were moments like at Woman Thou Art Loosed and Megafest where we recognized the magnitude of the ministry. Because we grew up in the church for most of our lives, the church doesn't seem that big to us. So it all was pretty normal until we had our conferences, and then we realized that there was a lot going on outside of those four walls of our home.
So at a young age, you didn't realize what was going on outside your home. But as you got older, you began to understand more. Am I correct?
Right. Yes.
Okay. What is it like being constantly in the media spotlight? I mean, we go out in public places.
Well, I think, you know, you kind of adjust to it and recognize that with this platform and mantle that there's a lot of people who are touched by your life and your ministry. And so as we are out in the public, especially in our home area, most people are used to seeing us, but we try to be as, you know, real and authentic as possible and not let the fact that so many people know us keep us from living our lives.
Okay. So since your book is a memoir, what I'd like to know is, when did you become pregnant at a young age?
I did. I had my son Malachi at the age of 14.
Okay. All right. So this must have been a difficult time for you.
Well, I think certainly. At the age of 14, and, you know, there were a lot of questions and challenges, but I felt like I was capable of still being a mother to him, and so I strive to take my role to this day very seriously as a mother and supporting them and making sure that I don't just provide, but that I give them happiness and wisdom and structure.
Okay, all right. So while you were pregnant, how did the media present you to the public? I mean, were there good things they said or bad things?
Well, it was still relatively before the days of, like, Twitter and Facebook. And so the media that did try to come to the church to get reactions or to verify whether or not the rumor was true was met with the members who were very protective of our family and said it was a private time and something for us to discuss in our own timing. So the media was never able to confirm or deny it, and therefore it wasn't in the media as much as it was a rumor.
Okay. All right. That's the bad part about technology.
Exactly.
Like, especially if you're famous. Okay. How did your parents react to the news that they would be grandparents?
I think that they were devastated and had to grieve the loss of the dream that they had for their child. But ultimately, my father always says that love never loses a fight. And so when the devastation subsided and disappointment dissipated, they were able to allow love to stand in the gap. And because of that, I was fortunate enough to have a support system.
That is wonderful. That's a blessing.
Yeah, indeed.
Your parents are... So did you still attend school while pregnant?
I did, and I actually graduated from high school at the age of 16.
Okay. You graduated at the age of 16? Oh, you were smart. What is the most difficult thing about being the daughter of the famous Bishop T.D. Jakes?
Well, when I was growing up, I think the most difficult part was that people only cared about the last name and only wanted to know you because of the last name. But as I have matured and really come to respect and acknowledge all of the hard work that my father has put in, it's been more of me feeling honored to carry on the legacy and with my own gift and my own creativity. So, but it was very difficult as I was still trying to discover my own identity.
Okay. Do you have a ministry now?
I do. I actually started a blog about 3 years ago, which is why I was approached to write Lost and Found. And so I tell people all the time I'm not a minister. My life is a ministry because I like to use my own experiences and lessons learned and share those with others in hopes that it leads them back to God.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So, since there was no Twitter, no LinkedIn, no Facebook, things like that, I can see, you know, why that would be a blessing to you and your family because it gave you a little bit of privacy, you know what I'm saying?
Especially compared to now.
Okay. So you also married young. When you married, how old were you?
19.
19, okay. Did you have a wedding?
I did,
Okay. Was your wedding a public or private gathering?
We invited our friends and family.
Okay, all right. So, in your book, what is the purpose of your book? Are you trying to reach out to young mothers, teenagers? You know, what's the purpose of the book besides it healing? You, I imagine it was healing for you, too, to write the book.
Yeah, it was certainly therapeutic to write it, but through my blog I learned that there were a lot of people who were struggling secretly with, you know, their past decisions that they've made and trying to reconcile that with the fact that they wanted to be better people in spite of what happened to them. And so I wrote this book in hopes to let other people know that they haven't been, you know, depressed alone, they haven't been angry alone, sad alone, and that we're all still striving for better and that grace makes up the difference.
Yes. So did the media, they hop on into this, your marriage? I mean, was it bad? I mean, the publicity?
To a certain extent, when I made the decision to actually separate and then file for divorce, there was a lot of, you know, public interest and people wanted to know what exactly happened, but I didn't really go into much discussion until I had the opportunity to write Lost and Found, and so I get to talk about some of the challenges that we faced as a couple and how it taught me a lot about myself and love and commitment.
Okay, all right. That is good. That's kind of a self-healing, too, from God. Okay. What do you think about the paparazzi and the laws that people like Halle Berry are trying to get passed about the paparazzi?
Well, I haven't looked much into it, but I certainly understand the need for people to have the ability to live normal lives, and I can imagine that that must be very imposing, and understand that the paparazzi are obviously trying to do their job as well, and so hopefully they'll be able to create a balance.
Yes. I hope so, too. I hope so, too. Do you intend to make a movie out of your book, Lost and Found?
I have been told that it should be a movie, but right now I can't even believe that it's a book, so I'm going to take my time on the journey.
Okay. All right.
And lotion.
Okay. So what do you tell your child or children about being in the spotlight of the media?
Well, they understand that because of the profession that I am in, that it does require me to be often in front of a lot of people, and I try to balance that with when I am home being as hands-on as possible and making sure that they realize that, you know, we're all still people and that the spotlight doesn't mean that, you know, anything beyond the fact that we have more opportunity to help influence people positively and that it wasn't meant to create pressure. And so I try to protect them from any pressure that may come from that.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
And that's good that you're doing that for your children. So where are you at in your life? Are you at peace, joy? I mean, where are you at? Do you have fulfillment?
Yeah, I feel very fulfilled. I think that that is a good word to use. I am a combination of happy and certainly lots of joy and excitement as the book is coming out, anxiety as the book is coming out. I'm constantly balancing all of these different passing emotions, but the state of my life is one of very much so joy and peace.
Okay. All right. Is there anything in your book that you talk about that would help a young mother?
Yeah, I think that I cover a lot of things in the book that would help a young mother. When I wrote Lost and Found, my hope was that, like I said, that people would see a bit of themselves in me, and so I tried to share, you know, some of the things that being a mother at a young age taught me and, you know, how I communicate with my son pretty openly in hopes that we can continue to keep that line of communication open as he faces adolescence, and just really trying to encourage women and men as a whole to not be confined to one mistake defining them for the rest of their lives.
Okay. Well, we have to go to break. Listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest today is Miss Sarah Jakes.
Hey there, hello.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Mr. Ivory Bell, the beautiful vocal cords of Ivory Bell, who's again the lead singer of the group Blue Magic. That was his song, Hey There, Lonely Girl. Okay, I'm going to play another song by Michael Bunton, and it's entitled I Rose. Did it take you to write your book, Lost and Found?
It took probably about 3 months total.
Okay. It was a memoir. I'm sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wanted to purchase a copy of your book, your memoir, where would they go to?
They can go to any store on April 1st and pick it up or pre-order online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay. So if there was a young woman sitting in front of you right now and she was young and she was in the same situation that you had been in, what would you tell her to encourage her?
I would tell her that the first thing she has to do is truly forgive herself and learn to love herself again. Because I think from there, once you really value who you are in spite of your mistakes and you're able to forgive yourself, that certain things don't seem as a challenge anymore. You believe that you deserve the degree. You believe that you deserve to love again. You believe that you deserve all of these beautiful blessings in life. And because you believe those, you live a life of discipline that allows you access to those. And so I would tell her to be encouraged as she stays the course and to constantly love on herself.
Okay. What is the best advice your parents gave you, your mother and your dad, Bishop T.D. Jakes, you know, I see his movies and things like that, and he's very, you know, gifted. But I'm sure you know that he's very anointed. But what was the one thing you learned from your mom or your dad or from both that benefited you the most?
Well, I think the one thing that I've learned from them that has really benefited me the most is being comfortable in my own skin. I thought for so long that, you know, because I was T.D. Jakes' daughter, that I had to act the way people thought T.D. Jakes' daughter should act or look the way T.D. Jakes' daughter should act. And every time I made a mistake or there was a challenge, I thought that I was further and further away from being that person. And I started really watching them. And from the time we were in West Virginia and to the time of Dallas, and whether it's a movie or a revival, my parents are consistently the same. And so in being consistent and true to who they are, they emulated in front of me how to do the same myself.
So this may sound wrong to you, but your parents, they were still your parents no matter how famous they are.
Yeah, like even right now, like if my father could be sitting at the table with President Obama and my mother having coffee with Oprah, and I could call and, you know, Mama, I want to go come over to your house and climb in your bed. And she's like, okay, I'll be over there after my meeting's over, or, you know, go ahead and head that way. So no matter what stage of life they're in, they've always been our parents.
Okay. What do you think, since you're talking about the president, what do you think? How do you feel, and how do you think about the First Lady, Michelle Obama?
Oh, I think she's incredible.
Her. Okay.
You know, I think I mentioned in Lost and Found that my mentors were Oprah Winfrey and Kathy Hughes, and certainly First Lady Obama has been incredibly instrumental in, I think, really showing, especially younger African-American women, that you can really grow into becoming beautiful women, educated women, and still have a lot of fun. And so I love what she represents.
Yes, I do too. I admire her greatly. I found out, you know, that she was a lawyer and everything. I thought, wow, you know, she's a very intelligent lady. I mean, but she pretty much put aside her career so her husband could be president of the United States. And I think that was very unselfish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever talked to President Barack Obama?
I haven't. I've never had the opportunity to speak with him.
Okay. All right. So who are some of your favorite singers?
Oh, goodness, I like a variety of music from so many different artists. It's, as a matter of fact, in the book I always talk about how I had this love for singing, but I can't actually sing. And so I think because I can't sing that it made me want to really develop a musical ear, and so I try to listen to a little bit of everything.
Okay, so your memoir, Lost and Found, it's going to be out April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. So now that you've at this place in your life where you found peace, joy, love, when you look back, is there anything that you would change about your life? And do you talk about it in your memoir, Lost and Found?
I do. I talk a great deal about some of the lessons that I learned, and I wouldn't regret anything that's happened in my life, and I think that is because I learned something that outweighed the pain in those moments. And so because I've been diligent about trying to learn from my mistakes and to grow from there, I can't really say that I regret them, because it taught me so many things to love about myself.
Yeah, and I don't believe in mistakes. I believe God, or just, you know, does everything in order. So I don't believe in mistakes. I had a daughter when I got pregnant at 19, and I wasn't married, and I had a child at 20. I was older than you, but it's hard being a single mother. And now my daughter has children, and I think now she understands me a little better.
Mhm. That's the beautiful thing about growing up, is you start to really understand what all those grown-ups are talking about.
Yes, yes, that is true. So, what is next for you? I mean, you have your memoir out. What can people expect, and can they expect more books?
Yes,
can
I
they
actually...
expect more books like Lost and Found or any fictional books that you may be working on?
I actually have a three book deals with Bethany House, so I will have two books after Lost and Found that will be released into the marketplace, and I look forward to really experiencing more life and learning more lessons so that I can contribute great content to those books.
Okay. Now, you were earlier talking about African-American young women. What do you think about the situation in this day and age? Do you think the media is portraying young black women and young black men, but particularly young black women, in a negative light?
I think that they are depicting a certain group of people, and that maybe they aren't as explorative as they could be, because we are all so diverse, and not just African-American women, but I think every ethnicity. I think that, you know, they display a select group of people, and often that's not everyone's reality. And so I'm excited when I see, you know, people taking their lives and their art into their own hand via the internet and YouTube, and really showing a different side of the story.
Yes, I understand that. That's beautiful. The internet has been a wonderful thing for many people, but then it has its drawbacks, like cyberbullying. So the internet does have its drawbacks, but it has a lot of good things to it. So you're releasing two more books. You may possibly have a film one day in the future on your memoir, Lost and Found.
Yes, possibly.
Possibly. If you could say something, let's say to Oprah Winfrey, you said she's a role model for you, or she's somebody you look up to, what would be the biggest thing that you learned from Miss Oprah Winfrey?
Determination. I would say determination is the thing. I've studied a lot of her work, and obviously seeing her growth and her constantly challenging herself with the television show, and then, of course, the network, and I would commend her on her ability to constantly grow within herself, and not for the people, but to take a chance on herself.
Okay. All right. That's great, because that is what Oprah Winfrey has done. She's inspired a lot of people, men and women. So that's a fantastic thing. In your book, Lost and Found, do you talk about anything before, you know, you were pregnant? In your book, or your memoir, Lost and Found, do you talk about anything concerning your childhood that you'd like to share with the listening audience who haven't read your book, even though I have? Would you like to answer that question?
Sure. You know, I talk a lot in the book about growing up in the church and having to really, you know, find yourself when you're raised in church every single day, and, you know, going Sunday, Monday for choir rehearsal, Tuesday for prayer meetings, that it can kind of become a little bit mundane and routine. And I think that for some people, not everyone, but certainly myself, that I really wanted to know God for myself. And because of that, I didn't ever pretend to play church. And, you know, when you're a certain age and they, you know, put you on the microphone or put you on the usher board, sometimes you haven't had your own personal worship experience where God has, you know, brought you to your knees and you really bow before him. And so it took me a while, and I went through a lot of different turns before I was able to really find God for myself without any pressure from the church or being T.D. Jakes' daughter. And in those moments, I learned so much about his presence and constantly being his presence, embodying his presence, and what that requires for us in killing our flesh and our own desires and needs and placing them before him so that he's able to really be ruler over our lives. And I feel very fortunate that even though I didn't get it at a very, very young age, like in children's church, you know, that I was still able to find them on my own. And I love this idea that when we're children and praying before God, that our prayers through grace are translated into inquiries about who he is. And I try to continue that with my own children. We pray and have a very, very much God presence within our home.
That's wonderful. And I think that what you said about not being able, you wouldn't change a thing about your past, and I understand that because I feel that way too. I'm in my early 40s, but I know that the things I did back then was out of ignorance. So, you know, and I know that I wouldn't be on Blog Talk Radio hosting Show Talk with Angela Butler talking to such beautiful a Christian person like yourself, Christian woman like yourself. I realized that if I hadn't went through those things, life could have been a lot worse for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that that was my own story. Had I not gone through those encounters, and, you know, there were some painful moments and many tears spilled on my pillow, but had I not gone through those moments, I wouldn't have, you know, watered the seeds to my destiny. And so, you know, they were painful, certainly, but because I know what's on the other side of it, because I somehow managed to keep the faith even when I didn't feel like I had the strength, that God blessed that obedience with, and I was able to really fully reap all of my harvest, and I'm thankful for that, and every day strive to stay within his will so that I can continue that.
Yes, you can't go wrong with God, Jesus.
That's
Christ.
Right.
You can't go wrong with him. I know people can argue about politics and this and that, but God is real.
Absolutely. He is so real, and I see him every day, and, you know, but it's a decision to search for him in everything. You know, we can't just get so caught up in life and the bills being due and what's for dinner and, you know, our own heartbreaks and disappointments that we forget to search for God even in those painful moments.
Yes, and I can relate to everything you just said. I can definitely relate to you. You know, when your publicist emailed me, I was shocked. I'm just going to say that. I was shocked.
Wow.
I didn't expect, you know, to get an email like that. So even though I've had famous people on my show before, I wasn't expecting that. And I've had people who are not so famous, but they're all doing positive things for their community. Some do it in world communities, and other doing their towns and cities and states.
Oh, that's incredible. I thank you so much for even having me on this show and taking an opportunity to, you know, read my book and hear my story and share it with your listeners. I'm very grateful. And now I get to sit down and have dinner with the kiddos.
Okay. All right, then. So that sounds like you're ready to exit. Okay. So, thank you, Ms. Sarah Jakes, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I thank you for coming on the show, and if you ever want to come back, you are more than welcome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And could you tell the listeners one more time where they can purchase your memoir, Lost and Found, on April the 1st?
Sure, everywhere, April 1st. Everywhere books are sold on April 1st or available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, that is great. I wish you the best, and I hope your life continues to be blessed.
Thank you. Same for you. I'm very proud of the work you're doing.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. But it's people like you who are reaching out to the young people that really impresses me, and I think that's a good thing. There's a lady that's over the Fatherless Generation. I believe she's in Atlanta, some part of Georgia. I think her name is Tori. She was on my show, And she's doing some really positive things. Because, as you already know, everybody doesn't come from a two-parent family.
Right, right. Certainly. I'm not raising my children in a two-parent household, so it's important balancing that act for me.
I understand that, yes. But for those who don't come from a two-parent household or come from, let's say, broken homes, it can be hard, and people like you inspire them.
I'm grateful for that opportunity and that role, and it keeps me closer to God.
Okay, I understand that. You're very humble, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very humble. So I'm going to conclude the show. You said you had to go eat dinner with your kids.
Yeah, I got to make them something to eat so they can still like me.
Yeah, it's good to hear that parents, that people are sitting down at dinner table with their children.
We do every night. It's something that my kids and I said when I bought my house that it was something, a tradition that I wanted to have with them, and we look forward to it, talk about one another's days and how's school going, and it keeps us in touch.
Yes, I think it's sad, though. I come from a family with a stepdad, but I think it's sad that there are so many children who have parents, and they don't get to sit down at the dinner table with them. That's what I believe is really missing from the family unit. I think that if people, you know, would take the time to sit down to dinner with their children and talk to them about their day, even though, of course, people have to work, understand that, and people have careers and education to get, things like that. But I really do believe sitting down, talking to your children, eating dinner with them gives them strength. And it lets them know that they are loved and that they are important to the parents. Whether it's a one-parent family, a two-parent family, a grandmother and granddad, bringing them up.
That's right. It's an investment. So one that I look forward to sharing with them. Thank you so much.
Okay,
I really
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, listeners, you've been listening to Sarah Jakes. She is the daughter of Pastor T.D. Jakes, and I look forward to perhaps having her back